Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
WEEI Afternoons, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Hart here. That was the voice of Wick Grosbeck, the still but soon to be former owner, but also retained frontman, it seems like, of the Boston Celtics on the Greg Hill Show this morning at their little ski trip out to Wachusett. Fitzy, did you see they let Wiggy drive one of those, is it called a groomer? Big-ass machine on the mountain?
That's pretty cool, actually. What? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you could,
yes.
What would you rather drive? A groomer, a bullpen cart, or a Zamboni?
Zamboni.
That's an interesting one. Probably the Zamboni.
Same. There's something about it. I don't know why. They're just the coolest.
And I feel like it would resonate. There'd be a lot of bragging rights. Yeah. I drove the Zamboni at the Garden. Something like that.
Yeah, right?
Whereas, I'm not saying it's not cool to drive that groomer machine at Wachusett, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, what is that? What does that look? Everybody knows what a Zamboni is. Everybody's seen a Zamboni and been like, be kind of cool to get on that and drive that thing. And so, yeah, I think I'd pick the Zamboni.
Same. I think universally that would win that poll, yeah. Like 100-0.
Wiggy always gets to like drive or go into like Ernie Bach like is putting him in super fast cars. He got to go in one of those super fast boats.
That's when he swore on the air.
Yeah. Every event they're like, hey Wiggy, come drive this really cool thing.
Yeah, he brings a certain comedic appeal and certain fun loving.
Like
big teddy bear guy. Right. Hey. And he's the ex NFL player. He gets to do the cool things. Comes with the territory.
We've gotten to drive weekend and afternoon shows, so that's cool.
Right into the ground. What? I didn't say that.
Hey, there's an iceberg over there.
Full speed ahead. I'm giving it all she's got. No, I'd like to drive something cool. I thought you were going to say the boat, actually. I thought you were going to go down the rundown of the things that Wiggy has driven.
Oh.
And the boat, even though I drive a boat, I have my own boat.
Oh, my God.
Brag. I don't think I'd want to drive one of those boats that goes 100 miles an hour and can flip over and do crazy stuff. And yeah, no, that would scare the hell out of me. I think Wiggy was rightfully scared when he was in Fall River in that. But anyway, we're talking about the Boston Celtics, not machines that are cool to drive when your name is Wiggy. And
the green machine is pretty cool, man.
And he is a big Celtics fan. He loves the Celtics, city boy, right? Easty, Easty guy, loves the Celtics. Bet you he'd have an interesting perspective on our discussion earlier about potentially moving the Celtics out to the burbs and building a stadium and it not being in the city. I don't think he'd care for that. I don't think Easty Wiggy would care for that idea. But you heard it right there. Wick Grosbeck was pumping the tires, I guess, of new Celtics would-be owner Bill Chisholm. And we do need to remember he is selling us, right? Like, is that safe to say he's selling us on I sold it to a great person? He's selling us on the future, especially since he's sticking around sort of as CEO and part of the. But do you think it's all sales pitch or do you think he believes he is selling it to the person who really is going to cherish it the way it should be cherished?
I know we use this line a lot on the afternoon show, but can two things be true at once?
Sure.
Can old Billy the Chiz, as I like to call him, Bill Chisholm,
the new
guy around town. Oh, come on, relax. I'm PM friendly.
Okay.
So if Bill Chisholm is a Celtics fan, obviously he is a native Massachusetts guy. He's a masshole like us, grew up North Shore. We heard the whole sell job and the bio and everything. Yep. And guess what? Now he's got a Wikipedia page, Andy, which is even cooler.
Ask and ye shall receive.
If it was 2003. So he can be a diehard Celtics fan. He can be somebody that has the team in the region and its passionate fans' best interests at heart. And at the same time, there may be some difficult decisions up ahead for him to make as he becomes the new steward, the shepherd of the organization. And for any concerns people have, because we've come to love and endear ourselves to the Grosbecks, Wick could also be putting on a sell job to allay any concerns. Just kind of like, You know, like when a friend you really like puts their hand on your back and just kind of rubs it a little bit, and sometimes you're like, appreciate that. Thank you. I kind of needed that right now. That's what Rick Grosbeck is doing to Celtics fans.
Is this a female friend or a male friend?
Are you uncomfortable with...
No, I think my wife would be uncomfortable if it was a female friend and there was rubbing of my back going on.
I said, it depends on what kind of friend that is. Who cares?
Okay.
As the kids would say,
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So the first thing that I think fans heard was, oh, he's a green teamer. He's a lifelong fan. He's one of us. He's from Georgetown. And when I look on the map, I now know where Georgetown is. North Shore guy, that whole thing. Although Jones and Keefe were really hammering the point that that might be a bit of a fib, that Georgetown isn't actually North Shore, that to be North Shore, you're supposed to be on the shore and it's too far away. But we're not going down that anal road of Adam Jones. We are going down the road of, do you have any concerns about a new owner taking over a team that is going into uncharted territory in terms of second apron, $500 million payrolls and taxes, and the salesman, the guy selling us on a certain narrative, Wick Grosbeck, had an answer for you. Still had an answer
for you. It's not the luxury tax bill. It's the basketball penalties. Okay, the new CBA was designed by the league to stop teams from going crazy. And they decided that it's not just good enough to go after the wallets, because then the fans are like, hey, you know, find somebody who can afford to spend whatever, $500 million a year or whatever it is. The basketball penalties mean that it's even more of a premium now to have your basketball general manager, your basketball president, be brilliant and lucky, because you've got to navigate, because you can't stay in the second apron. Nobody will. I predict for the next, 40 years of the CBA, no one's going to stay in the second apron more than 2 years. So we have Brad Stevens, the reigning executive of the year, and thank God we do. He's the one that really brought us this championship with his brilliant moves. I mean, many other people, but Brad is forefront, and he's looking at this, and he's going to extend our window and make it work. I believe he will, and we'll find out in June and July what he decides to do.
So there was a lot in that answer. First of all, it was pushing back against the narrative that it's a financial decision. He goes, no. The penalties that really hurt are the basketball penalties, the inability to make trades and do things of that nature. And then he guarantees that no team is going to stay in that second apron threshold for more than 2 years. And then he doubles down that and guarantees July, Brad's going to make some decisions. So should I take that any other way than to say, something's going to happen in July? There is going to be a Celtic-altering move come July, Fitzy?
No, I think that's fair to say. Because don't we all believe that given the bill that is to be foot with this team, with umpteen supermaxes and multiple veterans in the 20s and 30s and $40 million range, that passing off the buck of a several hundred million dollar payroll to the next owner is going to be at his discretion what he wants to do with it? I mean, it's not like, get ready, change is coming to Tombstone. We may have to make some tweaks. Like, there could be some forthcoming adjustments. So I don't think Celtics fans have to look at their Brown or Tatum jerseys now and go, do I need to get this in red, yellow, or blue? So much as, like, maybe there will be someone else that you've liked who could be responsible for a couple of championships who may have to get moved for salary reasons.
I also thought it was interesting that he's making a prediction about stuff happening before he even knows how this season unfolds. We often do this in sports. Does it make it more or less likely that a player retires if they win the championship? Or does, more or less likely that he re-signs with a team if they win the championship? Things of that nature. Like A.J. Brown. Everybody was like, he just won the championship. They're not trading him. He's not going to shoot his way out of Philadelphia. He just won the Super Bowl. So does the Celtics winning and losing this June, taking banner number 19 or failing to achieve banner 19, does that have any impact on what you think they're going to do when Brad Stevens gets to July and makes these moves that are based about the long-term compete level of the Boston Celtics? Is that irrelevant in the process? Is something going to happen either way, or does the end result still matter?
I'll tell you what. I think if the Celtics win a championship in June, I think people will be a lot more, I think a lot of fans will be more comfortable with, or at least they'll grow to accept changes if there's two championships out of it. Like, you could say, like, no, I'm lusting for more now. We got a wagon. Don't break it up.
But like, three-peat.
But that's getting Pete, greedy. You got to understand. There's a lot that goes into this guy.
Chief Pete, Celtic Pete, something.
See, Pete. Oh no, C Pete. That's it.
C Pete.
Got it.
Perfect. Just gotta do the repeat thing first.
First, C Pete. Then we can C Pete. Okay.
Yeah, because I am of the mentality if they repeat, I want to C Pete. I want to go where, you know, keep pushing the envelope. That would make me, if I'm Brad Stevens, and I'm not Brad Stevens. Because I'm neither lucky nor smart. I'm not a genius like him, nor am I lucky. And he's a combination of both. But that would make me want to go all in. Maybe get out over my skis and probably make bad decisions that might come back to haunt me in the long run. If you remember, the big three. Mm-hmm. There was regret in Red Auerbach that he kept the big three together too long and that hindered the Celtics in that next generation, among other things. Obviously, there were other issues, but there
and
was
what
regret.
Was the and honestly, what? Why are we here today? And don't just talk about our parents getting frisky one night or making some strange decisions. No, but
alcohol.
We're here to, yeah, booze, bad decisions, regret. No, we're here today, Andy, because somebody had the stones to not. You know, I know Ray Allen kind of started the fracturing of the second of the Big Three 2.0, but because. Instead of trying to see what else you could get out of Ticket and Truth, they said, we're okay if you move us. You know, they took one. They ultimately, like in the truest, coolest sense of the word, took one for the team. And the Celtics are where they are now in large part thanks to the selflessness of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
And I would say the genius / luck of Danny Ainge. You know, if we're going to call Brad Stevens a genius with some luck, then Danny Ainge did some things that were either genius or luck or a combination of the two.
Yes, and also the greed and insanity of Mikhail Prokhorov.
Well, yeah. I mean, you always have to have a willing participant, mm-hmm. whether it's
Zuckerborn every day that drinks $2,000 bottles of wine every night.
617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons, talking about the Celtics sale. Are you excited about it? Are you happy about it? Are you a little timid to jump 2 feet into the Chisholm, the Bill Chisholm era here in Boston, whatever that is, however you feel, we're here to talk about it. Up next, it's my favorite part of the week. This is nothing like a grab bag. I want to be clear about that. This is just an expanded odds and ends. All the little stories that we didn't get a chance to talk about over the course of the week, we squish them into this segment around 5:30 on a Friday. Nope, we don't have keys either. No. It's an expanded odds and ends, and one of them might surprise you. Do we owe an apology to the James family? That might be up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball for the last time today. WEEI Afternoons. Happy Friday afternoon to everyone who's listening. It's spring. I'm happy. Head towards the weekend, even though I'm going to spend a good chunk of it either raking leaves or at a volleyball tournament, but I'm going to enjoy the hell out of both of those activities.
You said you were going to pay your son to cut the lawn. You can't hold the whole college thing over his head. Hey, man, I'm paying XYZ for college. I'm going to need a little something on the back end.
Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah.
That would be the right way to do it. But I've also living in the real world now. And if I do that, then it won't get done. Then it'll be high. And then when he mows it, there'll be clippings. And
it's going to be 60 tomorrow. So.
Oh, the grass is growing.
Yeah.
The grass is absolutely growing. That's why I need to get the sticks and the leaves and all the other crap out of the way so that when it's ready to mow, we're ready to mow. But we're not talking mowing here. The beauty of live radio is that things pop up. Just boom. I was going to start with the results of my Drake May Joe Milton poll that Ted Johnson requested yesterday. And we're going to get into that because it's what I thought it was and not what he thought it was.
Your super clickbaity poll for today's show.
Thanks to Ted Johnson.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm going to take a victory lap like he likes to take. Anyway, but we're not going to do that first.
Okay.
So you are a minor league baseball guy.
Yeah.
Used to work for the Yard Goats.
I did 3 summers. That's right.
Once was the mascot.
Once was the mascot, Chompers the Yard Goat.
So Dan Ball, an expert on minor league baseball.
And ridiculous names.
And ridiculous names. Bring us the most ridiculous new name or alternate name that a certain minor league baseball team will be using.
Well, so shout out to our guy Brian Frazoco because he was the one that found this. The Chesapeake Bay Sox, AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles, who play the Yard Goats and also play the Portland Sea Dogs.
Oh, nice.
They are proud to introduce a new alternate identity for the 2025 season for select home games. The Chesapeake Bay Sox will take the field as the Chesapeake Oyster Catchers as a tribute to the Chesapeake Bay's rich heritage and thriving ecosystem.
Did they check that on Urban Dictionary before they decided to make that their alternate name?
Based on the logo, I'm going to go with No.
And I think Brian Ferzocco is going to put the logo up on Twitch if he gets a chance. If not, you can find it, Google it, go on Twitter,
the
search it.
The name is bad, the logo's worse.
It basically looks like a catcher's mitt.
What the hell?
Catching a shucked oyster.
Did you just see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Wait, how can you see it and I can't? What the hell's going on in here? Anyway.
I don't know. I see the tweet.
It looks
there it is.
Like,
oh, man.
It looks like a glove catching an oyster or other things. And so is that going to be in the center of their hat?
Yeah, and on the jersey and in the pro shop where families are going to see
I need one ASAP.
Now, see, when we were talking about the hats
and
how does that get past multiple people signing off on it?
Oh, the ones with the logo on top
of the Ariana Grande and the different anal and all those other things.
Yeah.
That is a question. This, I think, is signed off on because of the attention it will get.
Oh,
I think they're looking for the attention. They know people will want these T-shirts and these hats. They know people like us will look at that and be like, what's that called? What's that supposed to be? Because it's minor league baseball.
This is about to be the biggest digital day that they've ever had.
Absolutely.
This is going everywhere.
I don't fault them. You know, you got to do business is being done. Hell, look at the Savannah Bananas that have just changed the idea of marketing and attention and shock factor and
how
all
about
those
them?
Things.
I don't know who listed it. How about them selling out a football stadium for a game?
They're super popular.
Yeah.
Sneaky hot take here. It's not three, so we're not doing a three-point stance. But Major League Baseball has a weird problem that the mock team is more popular than the real teams in some places.
That the Globetrotters are more popular than the Celtics.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The Globetrotters are more popular than the actual basketball team in the region. So that's a bit of an issue. We'll get that out of the way. Now, because the longer we talk about that, the longer we extend the chances that I get in trouble or you get in trouble or we say something we shouldn't say about the oyster.
Somebody's
catchers.
Getting canceled at some point soon.
And I don't want to.
No.
You know who could get canceled soon if you believe some in Patriot Nation is Joe Milton, canceled right out of town. So Ted Johnson, if you recall, listeners, yesterday afternoon, I said I would do my poll today because he has this infatuation with Joe Milton. Does he put pressure on Drake May? Is Drake May soft? Zappy broke Mac Jones, Zappy fever, Zappy chance, all of this tied together. So I said, I'll make it the poll.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to think there was a pretty big portion of Patriot Nation that thinks Joe Milton is the next big thing. And they exist. Don't get me wrong. We get the texts. We get the calls.
100%.
We had the call earlier. What do you think you could get if you traded Drake May and kept Joe Milton? Nope, we're not talking about that.
If you guys mentioned it off the top of the show in a 2 o'clock hour, we'll at least get one
100%.
Once an hour. We'll get a call about that.
So I did the very simple on Andy at Jumbo Heart on Twitter.
Yep.
Which Patriots second-year QB do you like the most? And I believe Ted predicted yesterday it would be a 60-40 advantage for May.
Okay. Not nearly enough, by the way.
I predicted a Gerard Mayo-like. Late last year, I started doing polls about Mayo, and it didn't go great. And it was like 90-10.
Yeah.
I predicted it would be 90-10. I was wrong. It's 88-12. 88% say that Drake May is the Patriots quarterback they like the most. Only 12%, and this is 1,200-plus votes have been cast, so pretty good sampling of Patriot fans. So we often get caught up in the vocal minority or the craze factor, whatever. Not a lot of Patriots fans think Joe Milton's all that good.
I'm a proud 12%er.
You voted for Joe
Milton? I did.
Excuse me?
I did. I love the backflips. I love the backflips.
Loves the backflips and the big arm.
Backflips and the big arm? What about football games and winning? See, this man is a conundrum.
How many games did Drake win last year?
No. This man watched Tom Brady do nothing exciting except win for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now he wants the guy with the big arm and does backflips instead of the guy who has a better chance to win you football games.
We've gone over this before with the Interest Kings thing. I like shiny objects.
Okay.
Well, and Bill built Tom Brady, too. So this is actually a quarterback who's standing on his own two legs, right?
I like it, Dan.
Okay.
So you, instead of Bill having a woman sit on his legs who's way too
easy.
Young for him to be playing on the beach with. Anyway, total aside, did you see the video came out from that, Stiz?
No.
It's no longer just stills. Jordan posted the video.
BTS, behind the scenes.
Because you did report she has, like, I mean, it seems like every single moment of their life is being documented in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I heard she has a camera crew following her.
I'm kind of surprised or won't be surprised if it happens that they end up with, like, a reality show where there's some sort of...
Oh, Meet the Belichicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those, the Kardashians.
At very least, it's a YouTube series on the North Carolina...
There's something.
Yeah.
There's something coming.
Built for love. I love it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'd hate watch that.
I'd hate watch it, too. We'd have to talk about it. You watch this video, though. First thing that makes me laugh is a little kid runs by in the background. Little 4-year-old, maybe. He was clearly down at the water, and he's running up the beach to his parents.
Don't give Jordan any ideas.
And then Bill struggles. The still photos, everybody was like, dude, his legs look jacked. Wow, he's jacked. He was struggling a little bit. And
the 72-year-old struggled?
I know, but I've told you, I'm starting to look old. When she hops off his feet.
Good clarification.
He, like, drops his arms, and you can clearly see.
Well, I'm watching it now. His arms are shaking like a leaf.
Oh, he was struggling.
Yeah.
This doesn't make him look good. She should have kept it at still photos. When you look at the actual event, he could have broke a hip. He could have died. I mean, anything could have happened to
him. This is bordering on elder abuse. We're watching it on the Twitch right now.
Absolutely.
Like, you couldn't have found a more stable way to showcase your love for one another.
And what is she showing off? We get it. You were a college cheerleader, college dancer, award-winning.
She's being a 25-year-old woman. And I actually don't think he looks that bad. And in fact, I think Andy and Dan, we should try this out in the parking lot and see how Andy looks.
That would actually be... Now, that would be a funny Instagram video if we did that. One of us supporting the other. But no, that is out there. Are you guys following the NCAA tournament beyond just superficially for your brackets? Because I actually think... Down in Providence,
yeah,
there's some interest in a couple of the guys we've talked about when the glory days of New England basketball,
yeah,
and we were more invested in the tournament.
The UMass alumni group is popping right now down there.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying you got a bunch of people with ties to the flagship that are down there.
So Rick Pitino and John Calipari won their first round game. Now, Calipari was an upset, Arkansas over Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Pitino is a 2-seed. They're really good. They are facing in the next round in Providence. Obviously, Rick Pitino came to fame early in his career by leading Providence to the Final Four in like 1986-ish. And I think that's a really cool matchup. I don't know how much people will get into it around here. Obviously, we're not going to do multiple segments on the matchup between Arkansas and St. John's and all that. But that's a pretty cool matchup down there in Providence with Rick Pitino. Although, coming off last segment, Celtics fans... Ooh, Rick Pitino.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it all bottomed out.
Yep.
When he fired Red Auerbach and his secretary and told him to get their crap out of the office. And, ooh, that was the low point.
Bird's not walking through that door.
Well, that was the high point of his era.
Yeah.
That quote. That actually had a little staying power and was cool.
If you look at that and not the record or, you know, the movement.
And trading. He drafted Chauncey Billups and Ron Mercer and then traded, which one, like, halfway through his rookie season or right away, he had the opposite of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Hey, let's keep them together and see if they develop.
Right.
He traded those guys away like immediately because he was still sulking that he didn't get Tim Duncan.
Right.
The only reason he took the job was because he thought he was going to get Tim Duncan and was going to ignite his professional coaching career.
Traded Chauncey Billups, D. Brown, Roy Rogers, and John Thomas to the Toronto Raptors February 18th, 1998.
Yuck.
Not great.
Yuck.
But then he was involved in drafting Paul Pierce later that year. So
yeah, but on whole, it was a terrible era of Celtics basketball. Let's go to the other side of the country.
Okay.
You see what LeBron's little boy did last night? Bronny?
Yeah, looking like a little basketball star there.
So we had a lot of bitching on this program and others about nepotism and Bronny shouldn't be in the NBA. He averaged 3.4 points at USC and all these things and blah, blah, blah. I don't know how many guys that don't, quote, belong in the NBA can score 17 in the NBA. Like, I'm being honest. Like, I don't think many people, like, you got to have a little ability to score 17 points in an NBA game, correct?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Do we owe an apology to anybody?
I think it's a little early to do that.
Well, it's like Scal said to that dude, George, like, I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me.
Right.
So just to be in the league.
Right. So I'm saying Bronny is in the mix to have an NBA job. He just went out and scored 17 in an NBA game. So he wasn't this dad's coattails, riding Nepo baby, whatever, that everybody tried to make it out to be, including me, which I got to go back. I got to go back, and I got to say, he scored 17 in an NBA game.
Yeah, but both can be true.
And what was the score of the game?
We got to stop doing that.
But it's true,
Fitzy
Andy.
Fitzy likes to do that. Both can be true.
Yeah, because that's the
truth. We're in talk radio in a polarizing world. Pick a poll and run with it. you know, both can be true.
Did he get a leg up over other players that maybe were more talented than him?
Yes.
Yes.
Is he worthy of being in the NBA? It's radio. I can't have you shrugging. Can you answer?
I would say yes. I would say yes.
Okay. He just went out and said 17.
Did you see the score of the game, though?
I didn't.
118, Milwaukee. 89,
oof,
okay. Lakers. It was a blowout.
Wait
this
a minute.
This is garbage time points.
Wait a minute. We can't throw a parade every time Pritchard or Shireman or any of these guys do something.
Give me a break.
And then poo-poo somebody else's opportunity when they put a few points on the
That's
board.
One game in garbage time, though.
Okay.
We're talking Peyton Pritchard's hitting half-court shots in the NBA Finals.
Okay, that's a different example, but I'm just saying.
But that's a bench guy doing that.
We love to promote Celtics bench guys in weird situations that score points.
Yeah, but not when we're getting our doors blown by 30.
It's probably happened. I bet you I could go back and find it. Akita. Oh, did you see Akita? I know they lost, but Akita had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks or something. I bet you I could absolutely find it.
All right, well, if Bronny does it for a, count him, second time as an NBA player, then I'll start to give a little bit more of a care about that.
I don't care. I just think we may have been a little harsh on Bronny.
I think they actually treated Bronny like he should have been treated, which was a guy that wasn't ready to play in the NBA. And after a full year's worth of G League games, maybe the fact that he's a James, you're finally starting to see some of the talent that he has in there. I think we were perfectly justified in saying when the NBA season opened up and he was drafted, this kid is not ready. But now, he's gone through a full season. I'm sure he's still not ready to be a full-time, a regular NBAer, but he's certainly closer, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think we were a little harsh for a little bit there.
All right.
We've been enjoying this, and I continue to enjoy this, these ballpark food reveals.
Unreal.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so there was a recent one, tiramisu in a helmet. What do we think of that at the ballpark?
Yeah.
Seems a little too much, right?
A little too high end for my taste at a ballpark.
Give me soft serve.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of those though.
What?
I'll do it once at a new ballpark, but then you're just stuck with an empty helmet.
What do I do with that?
Do you keep the helmet after?
Yeah, and then you throw it away. Like you keep it for a while, and then you throw it away.
Do you bring it home?
Oh yeah.
So you got to bring it to the bathroom and clean it off.
Oh yeah, you got to wipe it out with it at least with a napkin.
Love the concept. A little bit of a hassle.
What about the big bat filled with popcorn that the San Francisco Giants are selling that you can, I guess, refill?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, unlimited for one. You may not know the answer to that, but I'm in on that. No matter what.
And then there's a big shake, birthday cake shake.
Oh God.
Which I kind of like the idea of, but I don't know if I can pull it off at a ballpark seat.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to end up with a birthday cake shake all over me, and now I got to go to the bathroom and get clean.
Because it expands. Those are the kind of ones where it expands far beyond the cup that it's in, right? Like
they're kind of stupid. They're not really shakes.
No. They're it's a sundae.
Yeah, it's a sundae.
It's like a sundae that melted.
In a dish that's too small.
Yeah.
I love the idea, just not necessarily in the ballpark.
Stiz, are you in on any of these?
I'm a big tiramisu guy.
Really?
At a ballpark in a helmet?
At a ballpark in a helmet, a few beers deep might not be the best.
Wait, I didn't say that. But
yeah, but I'm just following logic.
Yeah, me too. Good point. Like tonight, later, Stiz will be a few beers deep. Last night, how did you watch basketball? A few beers deep. Maybe that should
be a
segment.
A couple beers.
Couple? No. That's different. That's
harkening back to the SNL.
Yeah, the Shane Gillis couple of beers.
Shane Gillis couple of beers.
But how many couple of beers?
He's a few beers or more deep. Yeah. Multiply it by a couple.
Yeah.
The other thing I am excited about that I bet this does not resonate with anyone else right now on this show. Dan Ball, too young. Stiz, maybe. I'm not sure. Fitzy, I think, would have been aligned with me. But Happy Gilmore 2. The trailer is out. I love Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
Favorite. One of those was your favorite movie when we did the Newlywed Game.
Yes, it's Billy Madison.
It is. Okay.
But Happy Gilmore, they're like, I could pick either or.
They are almost interchangeable.
It's a creature double feature, you know, pick flick. I want to watch both.
Yeah.
But let's listen to the trailer for Happy Gilmore 2, and I want to know if anybody's excited.
Arnold. Jacko. Tiger. SpongeBob? What is that? What's with the beaver teeth?
I haven't swung a club in years.
I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start.
Come on, brother. Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
Mr. Gilmore?
Holy sh...
Whoa! So I'm excited. I know it'll probably be terrible.
Nah.
Huh?
Might not.
You see the cast list?
Yeah. No, that's what has me excited. But sometimes when you do that, it's to cover up for the fact that it's a crappy movie.
Oh, like the shiny stuff. Or here's Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth.
Right.
Don't worry about what we're saying.
We got all these cool cameos. We're going to do all this. Are you guys interested? First of all, you've seen
Billy Everyone Madison, has right? seen
Absolutely.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking right at me when Happy you Gilmore. Say that.
Yeah.
Yes. Great movie.
Okay. So it isn't a generational thing?
No.
No, it's classic. Good enough and important enough for sports fans where it supersedes generations.
So will people care about this?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is this a real movie or is this a Netflix movie?
A Netflix movie is a real movie.
Where do I watch this? Is it on Netflix or in the theater?
It's a Netflix.
Probably Netflix.
It's Netflix.
Because I know he did like a 10-movie deal with them for $500 million.
And almost all of them stink.
No.
Almost all. I didn't
the
say stand-up
one was really good. If either of you haven't seen it, Dan or Andy, it's like one where it's almost like a documentary, and it follows him getting back into doing stand-up. It's sneaky good.
Yeah.
Okay. And I liked the one on Halloween, Herbie Halloween, something like that. It was terrible, but I liked it.
That's okay. There you go. I liked Uncut Gems. That was
very good.
Awesome. Right? Yeah, that might have been the best one that's
the
come
list.
Out of
Grown Ups.
That's
and
why
grown
I said
ups
almost.
Too. Pretty good.
That's not a Netflix movie.
No, I know, but they're good. I'm just saying he delivers some good movies.
Oh, yeah.
There was the movie with Jennifer Aniston. There was like a Murder Island or Murder Something with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, you lost me there.
He does a good job.
Okay.
Speaking of good jobs, Stiz does a great job to end every show with odds and ends. And you're like, wait, we just did odds and ends. No, but it's the real odds and ends that we do Monday to Friday at this time. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons, time now for Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. And Dan Ball, you like to set the table for us in our rundown.
I do.
A little behind the scenes. We have a little Google Doc that we kind of plan the show in. Dan likes to put stuff in there. We all move stuff around. Goes with our show email, prep, all of that.
Sometimes I follow the email for what we're leading with. Sometimes I don't.
Right. And we know it works.
And eventually we get to 2 to 6 and nobody
dies. No one dies. We've had shows that have been fun and energetic and we bounce around.
And
it is
others.
What it is. Well, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So today, I love the Fridays. You put the weekend schedule in there. I don't love that the Celtics play tonight in Utah without Jaylen Brown, my guy.
Yep.
I asked Scal about it the other day, about getting to 65 games, so maybe he can be all defensive team or maybe even all NBA, because I haven't run these numbers, but I did hear Rich Keefe talk about this. A lot of the guys that you would perceive to be ahead of him, I guess there's a lot that aren't going to reach the 65-game limit. So
right.
I don't know how much I love that because it's starting to become like the Pro Bowl. Are you really an all-NBA or did a bunch of really good players not get the games in to be all-NBA? So that's does it devalue all-NBA at some point? It could.
Yeah, definitely. And the NBA's efforts to try to manage load management and try to penalize teams
which I
for
love.
Doing that. Not doing a whole lot, it doesn't seem.
No.
Not a ton.
No, it doesn't seem that. Somebody rested all 5 of their starters and they're getting looked at for it. Might have been OKC.
That sounds about
right. Had a game
right.
where all 5 starters sat out. The NBA's like, I don't like
with
that.
Just the left knee, the right shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Just you know,
and
they're
then,
banged up.
Then they're back the next day, and it's like, all 5 of them are back the next
right.
day?
Right, yeah.
At least Bill Belichick, when he used to manipulate the injury report, was good at it and would be like, these 5 guys are questionable, half will play, half won't, then it'll change. And, like, you couldn't really lock him down and go after him because he was the spirit might not have been there, but the execution was good on his part.
Yeah, nobody had the gamesmanship down quite like him.
Oh, yeah.
NBA teams are a bit more like, yeah, we're just going to do it, and if they catch us, whatever.
We'll pay the $100,000 fine or whatever it is.
And it won't make a dent.
Celtics are then at Portland on Sunday. Yet another meaningless games, although that's that try-hard physical Portland team that will go after them. I'd pencil that in as a potential loss for the Celtics.
6-game road trip, too. So to your point about resting stars, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of surprise, not surprise absences over the next few games.
This end of the season, as Scal talked about, is weird because it's rest, get healthy, be ready, and then ramp up. Scal thinks you got to start ramping up Tatum and Brown and those guys for their 40-plus minutes. And it's like, is Jaylen Brown really hurt? Is this knee a thing? Like, there's a lot going on at the end of the season, and I don't like any of it. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think this is good for them to start the postseason hitting on all cylinders. I think there is a very high likelihood that at some point early in the postseason, we are looking at it and saying, they don't look great. They're rusty. They're not ready to play. They're down 25 points in the second quarter or something. And I'm not sure there's much you can do about it.
No.
It's the nature of the beast of where they are locked in pretty much in the two seed and meaningless games against meaningless teams for the most part.
But then again, if it leads to a 2-7 matchup in the East where maybe it's a little too close for comfort, it goes six games when it's not supposed to. But then by the time you get into the real matchups with teams like the Cavs, I can handle that. But we might be a little tight when we're watching.
You know what that's called?
What?
Content. We'll be talking about it. Sky will be falling. We'll bitch about it. Christian Arcand.
Is Joe Mazzulla not the guy? 617.
Absolutely. Bruins. We didn't spend much time talking about them today because they don't deserve much time. They lost 5-1.
Didn't deserve my time or your time last night.
Yeah,
I don't think.
That was ugly. They never had a shot, and the Vegas Knights had shots, and a bunch of those shots made it into the back of the net and were goals past Swayman. Bruins will be at the Sharks on Saturday and Kings on Sunday. They are playing for a top 10 pick.
Yep.
That's what we're all rooting for right now, for them to tank without tanking, just suck enough to get a good draft pick.
Unfortunately, as are the Sharks, and I believe as are the Kings. So it's going
to
be a little...
Is this Bills Patriots? Who's trying harder to lose?
It's a nice race to the bottom that we have this weekend.
Thanks for coming, NHL fans.
Oh, boy.
Red Sox at Rays on Saturday. We talked about it with Lou Merlone. He was very excited with Joe Castiglione in the broadcast booth for us here on WEEI. Then Sunday is Twins 105. Then they're going to be in Monterey?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they're going in Mexico?
Yep. Final two games in Mexico. It is a little bit of a hitch in the schedule of the ramp up.
And I do enjoy how Lou tiptoed his way through the answer about the team looking forward to the trip to Mexico.
Yep, you gave him the out to not give the real answer, and he took it.
I did, and AC and the guys that he's sending and Bregman, I just want to go hit lasers. Everybody else is like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'll meet you guys in Texas. March Madness obviously continues, and our bracket continues. Go to at WEEI Afternoons on Twitter. Vote for your favorite Boston sports nickname. For Nick Fitzy Stevens, for Ted Johnson, I hope you had a good day off. Stiz, great job today. With the drops, Dan Ball, great job carrying a little bit of an extra load today.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back next week. We'll enjoy the weekend of basketball and baseball. And I don't know. We'll see what Monday brings, 2 to 6 here on WEEI Afternoons. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Andy Hart here. And you know, there was a time when if you handed me a bread, three, two.